Jeremiah 17.
And of course, on Sunday nights, I've been talking about topics that really deal with your inner life and deal with some of the struggles and trials and battles you go through in your own heart. The lesson was really discovering your heart. What I'm going to do is look at a lot more detail in regards to what your heart really is all about. And when we look at relationships with people and our relationships with God, it has really helped me to understand what it means when it talks about my heart in the Bible, the center of who I am. So Jeremiah 17, I referred to this a little bit this morning in verse number 9. I'm going to read this to you. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And so we can see here in the scriptures, like I said this morning, our heart is something that when you leave it to itself, it becomes very depraved. Very depraved. We begin to love things that we ought not love. We make decisions that we ought not make. And we really need the Lord's guidance in our hearts in order to go forward in the Christian life. And so I want to look at a few things about the heart here. And so what I want to point out here is the aspect of what you're made up of here. We are called what's called a trichotomy. Tri is three. And so we're made up of three parts as man. We are body, we are soul, and we are spirit. And our heart has to do with this whole aspect of the soul and the spirit. And that would also equate with our conscience. Our conscience also operates within the center realm here. And our body is, of course, all physical. It's all about the outside. And so I'm going to refer to this as we go through this today. And so the soul has the heart at its center. And I want to go through a couple of things that are really central in the scriptures in regards to the heart. Number one is this. It's the center of your thoughts. So as you're thinking and as you're pondering things, that's really your heart that's doing that. That's your heart. And so let's go to Proverbs. And I want you to turn to Proverbs. And I'll spend a little bit of time here just jumping through some verses. And so Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 2, the first thing I want you to know is your understanding. When you talk about understanding things, that's what's happening within your heart. Your heart is what understands. And so in Proverbs 2, 2, it says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. So your heart has to be applied to understand things. And so it's the center of your thought process. It's the center of your understanding. And also go to Proverbs 15, verse 28, because when we think about heart, it's usually what we think about on Valentine's Day with our little Valentines with a heart on there. It's just about love. And love definitely is in the heart, but it's so much more scripturally that we need to understand. So Proverbs 15, verse 28 says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. And so there you see again that your heart studies. Your heart ponders, understands, and then helps you to say things that are proper and righteous. But the wicked, it says, the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. And you know, in the scripture, it talks about out of the heart proceedeth adultery and fornications and all these things. That comes from our heart. And so what really takes place when the difference between a saved and a lost person is a lost person doesn't have the ability in their heart to really keep that stuff from flowing out. And if you know lost people, people that have no idea of scripture, they really don't care about God, then you begin to have a conversation with them, you can tell in short order that stuff that's coming out of their mouth. And you know what that is? There's no check valve there. There's nothing to keep to discern. Usually it's after they say the wrong thing, they say, sorry about that. Especially when they know you're a pastor. And I've worked in construction a lot of my life, and I've been a pastor working in construction. And construction guys, they got filthy mouths. But when they find out you're a pastor, And then they start talking like, oh, sorry. And I never say that's okay, because it's not okay. I say, you should be sorry. That's pretty poor talk. You know, I never give them the okay that it's okay for them to talk like that. But it just shows you that a lost person, a person that doesn't have Jesus Christ in their heart, it just pours out of their heart. But a person that is righteous, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. Amen? Because Christ is in our heart, we ponder the right answer. We're just not, you know, people that are proud about the way they talk. And they say, oh, I just speak my mind. Sorry, that is not the right answer. A believer doesn't just speak his mind. A believer studieth to answer. Amen? That's wisdom. We have to be careful about just blabbing. And a Christian that does that is a Christian that has not applied their heart to understanding. And nor has that heart been studying to answer. Amen? So that tells you a little bit about the heart. The third one is, and I'll get you to turn to Proverbs 16, verse number 9. So Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Amen? So in your heart, you can actually devise the way that you want to go, but the Bible says the Lord will actually be in charge of the steps that you take. In other words, you may think, oh, I'm going to be in charge of the steps of my life. And you talk to anybody, you'll realize real quick that your steps are not yours to take. And you may be going your way for a while, but the Lord has a way of he's getting in there. And the laws that he's put in place, the law of reaping and sowing and so forth, it never goes the way that you think it's going to go. And that's why we have the Lord involved before the process begins. Lord, I want to devise my way according to the steps that you would have me to walk. And then I won't have to be corrected and redirected throughout my whole life. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Amen. It's very important when we come up with a plan that we go to the Lord and say, Lord, I got this way that I'm devising here, but I want to acknowledge you in this process. I want you to be the one that gives me the direction in life. I want you to be the one that really directs the path that I'm walking on here. And that's what this is talking about as well. It's the same thing, but it starts with trust. Do we trust God with that? Amen. And we can waste a lot of our years walking our own path because we don't acknowledge God in our situations of life, in our decisions of life. We have to be very careful about that. So Proverbs 16, verse 9. Turn to Proverbs 23, 7. Proverbs 23, 7. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Amen. And so it's not the way people act towards you that's necessarily what they're about. What they're about is what they are in their heart. So as they think, and so when you meet people and you talk to people, what you need to learn to do is discern the way they think. Because the way they think will tell you who they are. Because people know how to do things to put on a show for people. We know how to put up the front. The word hypocrite is really the old word for an actor in a theater. It's one that wears a mask, one that pretends to be someone that they're not. And so we have to be very careful that we don't get taken by the mask. And we begin to discern how people think, because that's how they are. And it's interesting sometimes. I hear some people, they sit down with me, and then they start talking bad about certain people. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I know he's doing this, kind of making me like, you're my confidant. And I'm going to tell you all these things about people that I know. But the fact of the matter is, if he's doing that to them behind their back, I know that when I'm not there and that person would be with them, they would do the same thing to me. So what you got to be careful of is not buying into this. That's why gossip is always a very bad idea. And when people start to talk about someone else to you, you just shut it down. You say, I'm not really interested in going there. Or you start talking about the positive and the good things about that person, and that seems to shut down the conversation pretty quick. But you need to remember that us in our hearts, in our base nature, we love criticism. We love cutting people up. Amen. But not a heart that is righteous. We study to answer. Amen. We look at the scriptures. We say, what is the best way for me to approach this? And so many times, if we let our hearts just say what they're going to say, we get involved in some very serious sin against the Lord. We start cutting up, especially the people of God. Amen. People can be very rotten. Amen. And that's just, you just mark it down. People are bad. You're bad. So I'm not bad. Yes, you are. If you don't believe you're bad, then all you got to do is just take a few moments to look inside your life and look at the way you think and look at how you process this week. And you realize pretty quickly that in our nature, we're pretty bad. Amen. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. That's why salvation had to be a gift, because there's no way any of us could be good enough to go to heaven. Amen. And unless we're one of these people that would just put on a mask and say, see, I'm good enough. Oh, I was going to tell you about this morning. And I was talking about in our Sunday school hour on a false gospel. I talked to this one guy, and they were teaching, trying to teach folks Bible and so forth. And I asked him, I said, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? And this is what he told me. He says, well, when I was younger, I didn't know. But now that I'm a little older, I think I'm pretty sure. What's wrong with that is that the basis of his salvation was a works-based salvation. So what he's saying is, when I was younger and wild, not as smart as I am now, and not as good as I am now, I wasn't sure if I'd go to heaven when I die. Because I was quoting to him 1 John 5:13. The Bible says, that you can know you have eternal life, right? I says, so can you know that? I just read the scripture and asked him the question. So when he says, oh, now I know, what he's really saying is, now I feel that I'm good enough to go to heaven. And there'd be no way that the Lord would turn me back. The one foundational truth that you have to keep in the forefront of your life to keep yourself on track is realize that you are a sinner. You are a sinner. That nature that was with you before you got saved is still with you today. And the only way to overcome the power of sin in your life is to submit your heart to the Lord. But even that, it doesn't rid yourself of the nature. Amen. And so it always shows its ugly face. Do you know that to be true? I sure hope if I'd ask you based upon your performance, whether you know you're going to heaven, you'd say, man, if it had anything to do with what I am and what I do, I would have to say there's no way I could go to heaven. But if you were to ask me whether it had everything to do with Christ and what he did for me, then absolutely I'm going to heaven. See, that's the whole thing about understanding imputation and the imputation of righteousness to your life. The reason why Jesus went to the cross, the Bible says he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When we're placed in Christ, we become the righteousness of God, not based on our performance, but based on the fact that we received the Son of God and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. His righteousness was applied. And that's what I tell you, even now when Jesus Christ is interceding for us, the Bible says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. So what he's doing is, he's showing the Father what we look like inside of him. So when the devil comes along and says, see, look at those dirty, rotten sinners, Jesus just says, Father, look. And the Father says, it looks pretty good to me. It's not based upon what you did. It's based upon his son. It's called imputed righteousness. Now what we're concerned about is taking that imputed righteousness that's been charged to us and help enact some imparted righteousness. There's imputed, and then there's imparted. Imputed deals with my salvation. That's what happened when I became born again, and my spirit was indwelt by the Spirit of God. I was given imputed righteousness to my account. I was sealed unto the day of redemption. So now what I want is the righteousness that's been imputed, I want that to become imparted. As God speaks to you through the Word of God, He speaks directly into your spirit. Because the Bible says that the Scriptures are spiritually discerned. So without a born-again spirit, you cannot discern the Scriptures. That's why in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of God." A natural man is one that doesn't have a born-again spirit. Their spirit has been cut off from God by sin. And now that I've received Christ as my Savior, the connection between God and my spirit has been reattached through the blood of Christ. And so now the imputed righteousness that's been placed in me, now what needs to happen is through the Scripture, I want to impart it. I want it to infiltrate my soul. Amen. I want to think right. I want to act right. I want to feel right. So the first place that the truth will go after the Spirit is into our mind. Because the Bible says that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Amen. The Bible says to be renewed in our mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So my transformation in the world, how I behave, has everything to do with how my mind is going to be renewed through the Spirit. Amen? This is all automatic. The battleground is in here. The battleground is the heart. Amen? It's not about forcing myself to behave a certain way. In fact, the transformation, like it says, be transformed, that word is metamorphosis. That's an automatic process. Metamorphosis has nothing to do with you. It's the same way that a worm becomes a butterfly. That worm doesn't make a decision, "Oh, I want to be a butterfly now." That's an automatic process that takes place through creation. Amen? And the same way, when I allow the Word of God that's connected into my spirit now through the Holy Spirit of God, when I allow it to change my mind, the transformation is automatic. If you've got to force yourself to do things, the problem isn't in your behavior. The problem is you're not allowing the Word of God into your mind. You're not letting your mind become changed. And that's why I put so much emphasis, even this morning, on the Bible. You know, if I don't have a relationship with this book, there'll be no change in my life, even as a believer. Amen? That doesn't mean I'm not connected. It just means that the thing that God wants to do through my spirit to my soul is not happening, based on a lack of decision. So the mind, the Word of God goes into your mind. From that point, you have to make a decision over here with your will. So I see what the Bible says. It's telling me this. Now I'm brought to a place where by faith, I need to appropriate or apply what I've just allowed to go into my mind. And I will do that if I allow that truth to have its place in my soul. Then I'll decide to follow it. Now, after I decide to do it, as I'm acting this out in my body, it's affecting my emotions. See, that's why I say you never let your emotion become your leader. Your emotion's always a follower after this process. If I would let my emotions into this process in any place here, it would keep it from happening. Because sometimes the thing the Lord wants us to do doesn't make sense. And it brings fear to our heart. The Lord wants you to tell that person about Christ. If I allow my emotion to control that, I'm not going to do it. You know? So I got to overcome the emotion by just making a choice to do it, to act it out. And then as I act it out, also my emotions begin to fall into place with the actual behavior. Amen? And so the behavior is completely based on me accepting this truth. This is what I need to do. This is the will of God. And that's why I hit certain things when I'm preaching on it. Because you got to remember something. I don't know how long you've been in church. I don't know everything you've learned. You know that. I don't. Amen. But I know there's certain things that have to take place in a believer's life for them to be successful. And I'm pushing those things. And I preach on those things. Because I know if we can't get past that barrier, we're going to be stuck in a situation where we're not going to do. We're not going to be transformed. Our behavior will not change. Amen? And so it's very important. You got to ask yourself, do I want my external life to look different than it is right now? And do I want that to look like Christ's life? Well, in order for that to happen, I need to receive the mind of Christ. I have my own mind right here. But this mind is corrupt. It's filled full of all kinds of garbage. Amen. Stuff that I've learned on TV. Stuff that I've learned through religion. You know, there's many things through religion that I've had to kick out of my mind just so I could have the truth in my mind. Because religion doesn't mean that you've got the truth. The Word of God tells you whether it's truth or not. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Not religion is truth, but thy word is truth. Amen? So we have to make the Word of God primary. You will not change without that book. This morning, Corrine Steiger said to me, she says, yeah, all my Bibles are all worn out, or all falling apart. I says, well, if your Bibles are falling apart, that means your life isn't. And that's exactly how it is. Our Bible's got to wear out. Then buy a new one. Amen. That tells you that you're in it, you're reading it, you're studying it, you're applying your heart to it, because your heart studieth to answer. Your heart is all of this. So when he says, set your affections on those things which are above, not those things which are on the earth, it's saying, set these things towards God. Because then you're going to receive what he has. But if you set this towards the earth, who's in the earth? Who's in the earth? See, this is the battle that Eve had right at the beginning. The devil came and got her in her spirit and soul to focus on the things of the earth. And then he applied pressure this way. This is what the world does. The world is constantly directing you like this. And it works from the outside in. The Lord is constantly working from the inside out. Two opposite directions. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that the Lord does not use some of this. Sometimes he uses a financial reversal to get this guy here to make better decisions. In other words, when you don't speak his language, he starts speaking your language. Amen? If everything to you is about this earth, what the Lord will begin to do is use the things that your eyes are focused on and take them away or make a turn on you. And then he's going to make you realize that that's not the answer. Sometimes your family can become your God. You can't have your family as your God. God has to be your God. And you can't love your family until you love God. But God's got to become first. Your heart has to be given to God. Love the Lord thy God with how much of your mind, heart? All. All. And then once I have when God has my heart, then I can be what I need to be for my family. But then I know if the family is a part of this pressure this way, it's not going to change the process that the Lord's working in my life. And that's why the Bible says, if any man hate not his mother, father, Luke 14, talks about hating. You say, God's telling me to hate my mom and dad? No. But I'll tell you something. When your family is putting pressure this way, the way the devil does, and God's putting internal pressure this way, when you obey God, they will say you hate them. You don't really love us. No, the thing is, I have to make the right decision, not just for me, but I'm making this decision for you. You know how many families have told their family members not to be baptized? What do you do with that? Do you tell them to get baptized anyways, even if everybody's against them? Well, yeah. You know why? Because the right thing to do is always the right thing to do for everybody, even though they don't know it. They don't understand it. They don't know it. But the best thing I can do for them is do the right thing. That's the way God's designed it. And it may not look that way to them. They say, oh, you hate me. No, really, this is probably the biggest form of love I could have. I'm not caving to your pressure just to please you. I'm allowing you to think that I hate you for the fact of doing something that's going to be best for your life. That's what true love is. Sacrifice of self. Amen. For the good of others. And so when we give into pressure, that just tells us that we're not loving them. We're loving ourselves. And that's really what it's about, because I'm more concerned about what they think of me than whether they're going to be okay with my example that I'm setting. And that's hard. I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road, man. I mean, that's bam. You know, what decision will we make when it comes down to it? And so we have to make the right choices. And so you think in your heart. This is the process of thinking. This is the process of studying. You say things in your heart. In Romans 10:6, it says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? And so he's saying that when you, have you ever talked to yourself? You're speaking in your heart. Amen. This is your heart speaking now, you know, and the devil, the Bible says that the devil, all he did was say in his heart, I will be like the Most High. He didn't do anything. He didn't even take one action. All he did was say something in his heart, and immediately God says, you're judged. Wow. You talk about not getting away with anything, you know. But you think about that. When you meet God, the Bible says he is going to reveal the hidden counsels of your heart. You can keep all of this from everybody in your life, but God sees this whole process. He sees exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why he said, judge yourself, lest you be judged. He's saying, I'm giving you this, and this is why I say, there's judgments in the believer's life. There's three judgments. There is the judgment of the cross, and that dealt with your sin. Your sin is no longer in question with God. If you receive Christ, your sin has been done away with. He's taken it away. You cannot be judged on your sin, because if you'd be judged on your sin, he'd have to throw you into hell. There's no other option. The wages of sin is death. So separation from God is your only option. Amen. It's not like I'm going to go to God with my sins and he's going to say, oh, you don't have that bad sins, or you got a few. We all have sins. And there's no way that you're going to know all your sins the moment you die, so you can confess all your sins so you can meet God and not have sins. Because you have a sin nature that you're taking with you until the time that you see Christ. Amen. So you know there's no way that you can become sinless before the time. You can't. But you can become sinless in the eyes of God through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so if any sin would come to light, immediately you'd be thrown into hell. No conversation. No, oh, well, let's see how we can handle this. Well, it's already, the judgment's already been made. Wages of sin is death. I mean, any sin is complete damnation. So either Jesus Christ dealt with all the sin, or he really didn't deal with anything at all. But the way some people talk, it's like he dealt with some of it. And then there's some left over. Well, if there's some left over, I'm sorry, you can't go to heaven. None of us ever will. It'll be an empty place. There'll not be one person in heaven. Except for the angels, Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. The only way we can enter into that place is if all of our sin has been dealt with by Jesus Christ. The only way. Amen? Very important to understand that. I don't know how I got on all that. You know me. And so you say things in your heart. I was talking about Lucifer, how he said things in his heart. And that's exactly how it is. The things that we say in our heart, many times we would never say those things to people. But as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we become so enraptured in how people perceive us. We don't care about the way we say things in our heart. We don't care about the way that we think in our heart. All we care about is putting on a mask so that other people can see what we want them to see. But let me tell you something. When it comes to meeting God, your mask means nothing. Everything is based upon what's happened in your heart. Everything. Amen? See, and that's what hinders you from rewards with God. So I can pretend to be a preacher, and I can preach to you messages, and I can pretend to be this or that or the other. But if my heart is not right, when I meet God, you may be way better off than I am. Amen? When everybody else says, oh no, if you're a preacher, you're going to get... Not necessarily. We come under the same judgment, and probably even more severe than that you will face. So what all I know is, I not only have to be concerned with what I do, I have to be far more concerned with what I think, with how I study in my heart, with how I think in my heart, even though I know you'll never know what I think. Because it's not about what you think, it's about what God sees in my heart. Amen? So you see how it's important for us to understand the aspect of the heart? That's why I wanted to teach this, you know. And so you say things in your heart, you think in your heart. I'm going to give you one more and we'll be done. You meditate in your heart. In Isaiah 33, verse 18, thine heart shall meditate terror. So that's a negative thing. But, you know, it's the same in the positive sense. When the Lord tells you to meditate upon the Word of God, you know where that has to happen? In your heart. It has to happen right in this process here. He's given you something. He's trying to infiltrate your soul with this truth. But you've got a gate set up right here. And you have to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to take a moment here and block out this. And I'm going to get a little quiet time so I can begin to understand what it is you're trying to infiltrate into my soul. And I'm going to open up that gate. I'm going to let you speak to me, and then I'm going to meditate on the things that you're showing me in my mind. Amen? And this is where the mind renewal takes place, in that meditation process. This is where we begin to apply that to the things that we've said or done or the things that we believe. And we begin to say, you know what? I have not been doing right in this situation. The Word of God just told me this. And so what I do is I confess that before the Lord. I get that cleansed out of my heart. I let that truth take its place. And then I begin to decide things. Well, maybe I need to get right with that person. Maybe I need to do this differently from now on. And then I just do it. And I can think, well, yeah, but they won't like me. That's where the emotions come in. Amen. Or maybe they'll turn against me if I do the right thing. That's where the fear comes in. But we say, you know what? No matter what the fear does, the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. And so we just do it. And then immediately after we do it, our emotions just kind of lift up and they're filled with peace and joy and happiness and those things that you know are there. Even though those people respond in a bad way, we know we did the right thing. And the Lord reaffirms that by His Holy Spirit energizing our emotions. Where now I have peace in my life. Amen. There's a lack of peace. It's because I'm not making right decisions. Amen. Because it's keeping us from making our decisions. And it's keeping us from meditating on those things because we block it out. I'm not doing that. And that's why when the preacher preaches on certain subjects, I'm already turning it away. I got a little switch, I turn it off. Amen. We have to say, no, the gate is open. The gate is open. I'm letting the Word of God penetrate. I'm letting the Word of God fill my soul. I'm applying my heart to understanding. I'm allowing my heart to study. I'm allowing my heart to meditate. Amen. And by the way, the Bible says if you believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is not a head thing. Salvation is a heart thing. That heart thing is a trust. That whole process, mind, will, and emotion, is like this. Jesus, everything is you. You did this all for me. Amen. And all of my soul, I put into your hands. I trust that what you did is sufficient to pay for my sins. And that's why you call to Him. You make a decision. Lord, I ask you to save me. That's a part of the will. The belief is a part of the will. Amen. So you actually believe in your heart. You believe in your heart as well. All right. And so hopefully that helps you a little bit as you contemplate, even in your devotion time, because something I've been burdened about is helping the church grow in their relationship with God. It's more than just performing things, go out soul winning, you know, let's do the 1, 2, 3, 5-star Christian thing. I think it has a lot to do with our own personal hearts. And I think if we deal with our personal lives, then all these other things, soul winning and church attendance and everything else, that's all minor. That's minor. Because the major is what's going on right here, right in our hearts. And I think if we start walking with God the way we ought to, we'll know exactly what to do because it's a transformation. We're being transformed. Amen. So all we need to do is remember this, folks. Don't come to church trying to pretend that everything's okay. Because I'll tell you something, I know it's not. Amen? And you can look at me and you can say the same thing. You know why? Because we all got problems. And I realize we don't wear our emotions on our sleeve. We don't wear our problems on our sleeve. But just remember this. The children of God understand that we all have a battle in our soul. And we need to help one another. Amen. And the sooner we can take the mask off and just grow, the better we are. Amen. Because it's not about convincing the world of anything. It's about letting the world see what the Lord is doing inside of our soul. That's what we want to take place. It's a one-way direction. You know, I talked to a Catholic recently, and they were talking to me about religion. I said, religion is man behaving a certain way with man, expecting God to give grace for salvation as a result of this. So my religion is going to dictate my salvation. And I told him that's not true. I says, that's why you got bad religions. Because they're flesh-based. They're man-based. I says, real religion is this. Developing a relationship with God so that He can work through you like this, that out of your belly, and your belly is a part of your body. It's actually your appetites. It's your desires. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Water is a type of the Holy Spirit. Water is a type of the Word of God. Out of my belly shall flow a scriptural life, empowered by the Spirit of God. Religion is a one-way direction, God to man, like this. And if our religion is based upon our relationship, we were going to have a fabulous church. But if our religion, we're trying to somehow show off to man, pretend we're something, without having this, we're just as bad as the cults. Because God never intended our religion to be like that. Our religion is an outflow of God's influence in our heart. Amen? One-way direction. He says, there's nothing from you I want. There's nothing you can give me. My flow is one direction. I give to you. My grace comes from heaven down to man. There's nothing that you have to deliver back up to me except allowing my grace to flow through you. Submit yourself to the process. Amen? That's all he wants from us. Isn't that great? Amen? You don't got to jump through all those hoops. But you know, you got to think about how your life is portraying Christ. That's why after we get saved, we get baptized. Because baptism is a part of our religion. It's part of our outflow. It's a part of us telling people, let me tell you about the Jesus that died and rose for me. And that's my first statement to people. Amen? After that, all kinds of other things. I allow the Lord to sanctify himself through my life. My marriage, I sanctify in our Lord's Supper in the church. Everything we do here is based on reflecting Christ. The songs we sing, how we behave ourselves, how we dress, how we talk. That's all an outflow of the relationship in our soul. Amen? And that, you know, that's why a church, I don't like this way of dealing with things. Some churches try to legislate these things. They say, this is the way you have to be. Well, now all I've done is I've brought religion to a different form again. Now my religion is trying to establish grace. Amen? No. We teach people to allow God's grace to submit to it so that all these things will fall into place and you'll be a proper testimony of Christ to this world. That's what it's all about. So if I have to legislate that, well, then I've just defeated the whole purpose. Now I'm back to the law again. Thou shalt not. Amen? And that's not the kind of church I want to have. You know what I want? I want believers that love God, allow him to flow through their life, and everything they do is based on their love for God and their love for the person sitting next to them. But it's not about being afraid of the preacher climbing down your throat. If that's the kind of religion you want, you will not find it here. You got to do better than that. This world needs something different. They do not need that. They got enough of that in all the cults of the earth. Amen. But you know what they need? By this they shall know that ye are my disciples, that you love one another. That's how they're going to know we're real. Amen. And how can that happen if this is going to be a law-based church where I have to legislate how you act, how you behave? Folks, I'm not saying that when you go do your own thing, there isn't measures put in place to deal with you. But that's not based on a list of laws that the church is giving. That's saying, hey, you're not being a proper example. We need to deal with you. We can't have you expressing your lifestyle saying that I'm a part of Christ's church. Amen? So it's not about legislating. It's about allowing the Lord to work through our hearts. Amen? Do you get what I'm saying here? And that's why I'm teaching this stuff. And I, folks, I want our Independent Baptist Church to be something that is special. And it's going to take work, and it's going to take individuals, each one of us, spending time personally in this book. Not because you have to, it's because you're setting your heart to study for the answer and to think right and to say things right in your heart. Amen. The Bible is so full of verses like that. I think it's really scriptural. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Sorry to get emotional on you there. This means a lot to me. This is so important. I think that's why the Lord wants us to have a confident heart. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know what, the Lord has spoken to my heart through this lesson, and I understand in a little better way the things I need to do to get my life and my behavior, the way I express Christ, to a way that is going to please God. And I'm going to reset this, and I'm going to get back in my personal life to a relationship with my Lord. And I'm going to spend time reading. Say, well, I don't know exactly how to do all that. Folks, we can help you with that if you need direction in that. But you know what? All you can do is just start. Go to the book. Block out the pressures that are coming against you and let His Spirit work on the inside. Don't let anybody take that time from you. And you read, you meditate, and you know what? You apply your heart to understanding. And He'll begin to teach you things. And then decide to do them by faith. And if you need to make a decision, I want you to have that freedom to do that tonight. Folks, the altar of a church, coming up and praying, that's not some newfangled idea. That's scriptural. And if you need to make a decision where you bow your knee before God, I'll tell you something. Some of the greatest changes of my life happened when I moved forward as a Christian and bowed my knee at an old-fashioned altar. And if that's what the Lord is telling you to do, obey that in your spirit, in your heart.